You probably know that the third Sunday of Advent is also called Gaudete Sunday, and Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. So there's a kind of an uptick to this third week of Advent. And it helps to remember that before Vatican II, Advent was a much more penitential season, a lot like Lent. And just like Lent is 40 days, Advent used to be 40 days. And if you count back 40 days from Christmas, it lands on the feast of St. Martin of Tours. And so it used to be called St. Martin's Lent. And in both of these penitential seasons, right about in the middle, there was a kind of a joyful Sunday. In Lent, it's a Laetare Sunday. In Advent, it was Gaudete Sunday. And the idea kind of was, in this long penitential season, we needed some sense of hope that the coming of the feast was actually closer. It's kind of like Wednesday is hump day, you know. Halfway through the week, or halfway through the season of penance. Okay, when I was first ordained, we still could not have weddings during Advent. That's long since gone away, but we still don't have weddings during Lent because weddings are festive, you know, and you, it's like, okay, you can get married, but you can't have a party, okay? But again, that's all changed largely, but there is still a kind of a penitential tone to Advent. And that's because preparation is always penitential. It's recognizing that we need God for our salvation. It's recognizing and owning our sin, that we're not there yet. You know, the kingdom of God is pressing back into our present from that future day, but we always acknowledge that it's not here yet. And we acknowledge, of course, that we're God's children and we're made in God's image. And, you know, much of the Christian message is gospel. It's good news. And the very last line of the gospel today is, using various exhortations like this, John proclaimed to them the good news. So this is good news, but we're realistic about that good news. We're realistic in the sense that we know that the church is still made up of sinners. And bad things have happened throughout the church's history. Nothing is perfect this side of the kingdom. The perfection awaits for a future day. And yet, the promise and the hope is already here. And that's what John the Baptist came to proclaim, that it's near. So get prepared. Open your hearts and your minds to the coming of one who is greater than I, he says. So there's a difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. John, people thought that maybe he would be the Messiah. And he clearly says, no, I am not. Someone's coming after me, and I'm not worthy to unloosen the straps on his sandals. I'm baptizing you with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor. Well, that's a wonderful agricultural image. One of the ways you separate wheat from the chaff is, of course, that little hull that surrounds the kernel of wheat, and it has no nutritional value, and it has no weight. You know, the wind just blows it away. It's absolutely useless, and so you want to get rid of that. And the traditional way of doing that was they had these winnowing fans, these big things that would go back and forth and separate, blow the chaff away. Well, we still do that today. Combines, you know, you have these sieves that are sifting the wheat from the chaff, but there's a fan in there that's blowing across those sieves all the time. I know that because I grew up on a farm and I had to grease that fan every morning. In those days, you had 100 zerks on a machine, and the first thing you had to do every morning was grease all of those moving parts. Now a lot of those things are closed and doesn't have to do that. But the fan is still there. Okay. The fan that John the Baptist is talking about is the Spirit. The word for spirit is the same word for breath, and it's the same word for wind. So the Spirit is blowing across our human nature and separating the good from the bad. In a collective way, separating the good people from the bad people, separating the sheep from the goats. But on a more individual level, it's separating in me the good part of me from the bad part of me. And we all know that we humans are kind of conflicted beings. There's a part of us that is drawn back to Adam, to sinful Adam. There is a kind of a dark side to all of us, a propensity for lust, power, greed, fear, and anxiety. You know, we have a kind of a dark side that just can easily get mired in all of that. But there's another side to us, that side of us that's divine, that's created in God's image, and that beckons not to the past of sinful Adam, but to the future of the glorious Christ. Because we're destined for that glory. And so we want to tap into that side of us. The Spirit in baptism has blown away the chaff. But we have to keep signing ourselves in that font over and over again, because it wasn't just a one-time deal. We have to keep saying yes to that over and over again. And we have to allow that Spirit to blow through us and take away the chaff, take away the sinful part of us. Eucharist, of course, is the completion of baptism, and it's over and over again. Part of what we're doing here every day is dying to that false self, dying to that chaff that's in us, recognizing it, owning it, and saying, I admit that I have that part of me, but then allowing the Spirit to blow that away, allowing the body and blood of Christ to transform me into His body. Now, Advent is a season in the church year, but isn't all the time Advent? Aren't we always acknowledging what we've just been saying here? This isn't only as a preparation for Christmas that we celebrate these notions. It's always who we are and where we are in relationship to God's salvific call to the kingdom.